Good afternoon. This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We are meeting as the Canyon County Board of Equalization. I'm going to make note that it is our policy and has been our policy for years and years that we do not switch around dates once they are set by the assessors and provided to the board's staff. Somehow, there was an anomaly, and one of them happened to be rescheduled for Monday. And since it's a big mess and it's an anomaly, I'm going to let it go, and unless my other board members say different. But it is the standing policy that if you're set on the schedule, you need to be here. And if you can't, then we'll just uphold your value, and you can take your appeal on to the state. So with that, I'm going to go through a script that I do for each of the hearings, and here we go. The Board of Equalization must examine and act upon all assessment protests filed with the board in regard to assessed value of any property entered into the property rolls and must ensure fair market value. The taxpayer shall have the burden of proof in seeking affirmative relief to establish that the determination of the assessor is deserving of an adjustment, including any determination of assessed value. If you have filed an appeal of the assessor's determination of value or your eligibility for a tax exemption, this is your opportunity to present evidence to the board to demonstrate that the assessor's determination was incorrect. Evidence must include documentation of recent sales of properties comparable to yours. Each taxpayer will have 3 minutes to present their case unless the board grants you an additional time. We expect that all participants to be cordial and respectful. If not, the board reserves the right to immediately terminate the hearing, and in such event, the participant will be deemed to have waived the right to present additional testimony, and a written decision will be issued by the board based solely on documentary evidence presented. In order to ensure that property values are correct, a county's board of commissioners sitting as a county board of equalization is charged with the responsibility of equalizing value. The charge of the board of equalization found in Idaho Code Section 63-502 is clear and precise. The function of the Board of Equalization shall be confined strictly to assuring that the market value of assessment purposes of property has been found by the assessor. It is hereby made the duty of the Board of Equalization to enforce and compel a proper classification and assessment of all property. The role of the Board of Equalization is to assure uniform market values. In doing so, the board must ensure that it does not compromise value in an effort to either placate the assessor or to the taxpayer. To do so creates nothing but unfairness in the system and shifts the burden from one taxpayer to another. It is important to note that ex parte communication, direct communication with the property owner, assessor, or assessor staff during the appeals process is considered unethical. And we don't do it. So let's get underway, and we will swear you in for those who have signed in to testify.
Roger Craig, Holly Hopkins, Ebony Ferreira, Lisa Walker, Nicole Conrad, Tracy Golder, Paul McConnell, Cleve Cushing, Nicholas Williams. If I could have everybody raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, so I would like to start with First Citizens Bank and Trust Company. So is there anyone here for that presentation? You are, okay, all right. You may present.
Hi, Chairman Holton, Commissioner Brooks, and Commissioner Van Beek. So First Citizens Bank and Trust Company, they own printers and copiers that they lease to schools, and they need to apply annually in order to be exempt from those taxes. First Citizens Bank was mailed an application in December and did not submit anything. We did reach out by email as well in April before the deadline, and they still have not applied at that time. when I sent the denial letter in May is when I finally heard back from them. And they submitted the documents at that time, but it was in June that they finally applied. So therefore, they were denied.
Okay. Okay. Comments or questions?
Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you for the information. The board has had a standing policy that these, in the interest of fairness, as you've read from the script, do have to be filed in a timely way, and this was not filed in a timely way. So I would be in favor of upholding the denial for the tax exemption. They can reapply next year to have that exemption on the real property.
Interested in making that a motion then?
Yes, Chairman, I move that we uphold the denial on protest number 26010. This is for PIN 64941390X0. This is for Citizens Bank related to Idaho Arts Charter.
A second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay. The next item of business will be Canyon Hill. And who's presenting for this? Okay.
Okay, and we're just asking that we have the church exemption for this property. We've been paying taxes on it year after year, but last September we moved our youth pastor into that building, and it is now being used totally by the church.
All right. And was the application submitted timely?
Yes.
It was submitted timely. Okay. All right. Okay, is there any other questions?
Our staff, that's what's listed in the comments. You just needed additional documentation, but the application was timely.
Correct, Commissioner Van Beek, yes.
Okay.
He applied in February and got the documents. He was trying to get them. It was an older church and much older documents, so he had to locate those, but he provided everything.
Yeah. Chairman, I'm in favor of granting the exemption for protest number 26075 for Canyon Hill Church of the Nazarene as the documents were filed in a timely way. That's my motion.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. You're good? All right. Okay, item is going to be LEAP Charities, and it'll be protest number 26001. So I'll have staff enter that in first and come up. Let's have staff present first, because I need to know if you received the protest in time and all of that.
No, for you.
Staff, not
who's talking?
Do you want to call my friend?
And then who's ever speaking, will you get like this close to the microphones? Thank you.
So this is LEAP Charities located at 13086 Street North in Nampa. They requested a full nonprofit tax exemption on the land, parcel number 085-77010, that they own the land but not the improvement on top of it.
Okay.
I think it's on the next slide. Oh, it's not in there. So they did apply timely, but it doesn't meet the requirements for being charitable. It's leased to the owner of they leased the land to the homeowner that owns the home on top of it, but it is deriving a revenue from that. So in there, it does not reach charitable.
Okay. Okay. Anything else from staff?
There was a little gray area with this one. So we did reach out. Sorry. There was a little gray area with this one with us. There's an exemption under 63 Ordinance 2022-602C cannot be given for property that is leased. That's Idaho Youth Ranch versus Ada County Board of Equalization. So we did reach out to legal staff on this, and they directed us in the same direction that we went in, as in denying it, because it is kind of a quasi-business.
Okay. All right.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to say that back. It's because that there is a profit being generated on a nonprofit application that we are unable by state statute to approve the re-exemption. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct, as what's been directed by Laura and legal.
Chairman and commissioners, I can jump in. We're looking at right at the statute of 63602C, and really, if there's any revenue generated from this, it's considered commercial and not purely charitable. So while I think the arrangement is certainly creative and probably is helping the low-income occupants of that home, under the statute as it's written, I think the courts have interpreted it very strictly that if there is any commercial purpose to it, that it would not qualify under C under this statute.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Address any arguments that come up further from the protesters.
So you've seen the letter from Givens personally?
I do. Yes, I do have that.
Okay.
So I'm happy to answer questions as those come up.
Okay. All right. You'll
have... I think we have a unit by law intern. Are you Frank, Mr. Lee?
Yes, I'm Frank Lee.
Oh, nice to meet you. We talked.
Good to start.
Thank you, members of the board. Simply put, LEAP does satisfy the minimum requirements under the Sunny Ridge Manor factors as identified by the Idaho Supreme Court. More than that, though, this is a forward-thinking, cost-cutting measure for the taxpayer that is meant to benefit not only low-income families of today, but low-income families of tomorrow. The land in question is land that is held in trust by LEAP Charities and is used exclusively for its charitable purpose. The ground lease payment is not a profit-raising measure. Rather, it is used for maintenance of the land so that it can continue to be used for LEAP's charitable purpose.
This is Frank Lang with Givens Pursley. I'm going to directly answer the assessor's issue. I point into the statute. It says, so size, it says, if any building or property belonging to such entity is leased by such owner for business purposes from which revenue is derived. The Ada County case cited related to a charity that leased property for purposes unrelated to its charitable purpose. It was a regular road lease, as opposed to a lease, which is what the charity was designed to do. This particular property is held to provide affordable housing within its IRS-sanctioned charitable purposes. It's not leasing anything for business purposes at all. It is leasing the narrowest property interest that it can to achieve its charitable purpose, which is the IRS test for not providing an excess benefit, either qualitatively or quantitatively, to any private interest. And so, like other charities that own real property that leases for affordable housing purposes, every affordable housing project leases something to a tenant. And what we don't lease is the building. The building that sits on this property is fully taxable and taxed. And the only thing that is not leased is the ground. The only thing that is not taxed is the ground purchased by the charity with public donations for the purposes of making sure that the property is forever charitable. It's a standard community land trust that you see all throughout the U.S. This is a fairly run-of-the-mill, in my world, this is a fairly run-of-the-mill exemption. And LEAP has chosen this model specifically because of its, in my view, extraordinary efficiency for the charitable dollar.
It was pitched.
But with that, we'll stand for any questions you might have.
Chairman? I do have a question for our staff under 63602C for low-income properties that are provided to the community. They have to meet a certain standard. Does this, where does this fall in that?
Chairman and Commissioner, I'm not sure what your question's related to exactly. Could you just restate it? I'm not quite sure where we're going.
Well, I'm trying to understand
the
scenario that's being presented. So what I heard the applicant say is that the building that's being leased is to provide low-income housing for someone. Did I misunderstand that?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Bleek, the building is owned by the tenant, by the owner, the charitable person. That building is taxed. LEAP does not own the building. There's no exemption request for the building. But the building sits on land, a charitable land trust, land owned by the charity. That is what we're seeking the exemption for. And that is the tool by which we ensure that the building remains forever affordable to people in the income range, in the charitable income range that LEAP focuses in on.
So maybe that's, maybe I'll redefine my question then. So for the people that are occupying for the purposes of providing affordable low-income housing, was there information given to the assessor's office that shows their income level and how they qualify?
No. Commissioner Van Beek, no, there was no income limit for them. I think the difference is also is that they're applying under the charitable exemption. The homeowner applied for a homeowner's exemption and they are currently receiving that. But they're applying under the charitable guideline, not the low income guideline.
Okay.
Just for the record, in order to be qualified for a LEAP home, the applicant for the home cannot exceed 80% of the area median income. So there is a defined income limit.
And Chairman and Commissioners, if I may, I mean, this is kind of new for us to look at. I think the whole assessor's office, this was a new thing. And I didn't converse much with Mr. Lee about it, but he said this is kind of a thing that's we're going to see more of. Is that, am I correct in stating that?
That is correct. This is a particularly efficient model, and you will see much more of this in the future.
So from legal's view, it's an exclusive charitable use, and looking at these two organizations, that from what I understand, the trust or the land trust is also owned by lease, or sorry, by LEAP. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, the LEAP is the sole owner of the land. And LEAP is the charitable trust. There's no separate organization. It's only one organization.
But from what I could at least decipher from what we had in front of us, so LEAP has the ground lease on just the ground that's being challenged here, but then the home that's on top of the ground, I guess for lack of a better word, is mortgaged through LEAP's, one of LEAP's organizations. I think it's the, I can't recall the name of it, but it's the trust fund.
LEAP loan fund,
right.
Chairman, the home, this particular home might have related party financing, but that wouldn't necessarily be true. They could be financed with any bank.
And so I think that, sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Lee, I think the kicker here is that, yes, they might be separate ownership relationships, but without that mortgage on the home that's on top of the ground lease, I don't know that this scenario would work. And if you've got someone profiting potentially, at least on the mortgage, that to legal is a commercial purpose, not a charitable purpose. So that is where legal felt that it fell under 602C as not being exclusively for charity. So does that make sense?
It does.
You've got the ground lease and then you have the mortgage. And those are separate, but they're related companies that are doing it, if that makes sense, the board. So LEAP and then LEAP's, what was it called again? Sorry.
LEAP Loan Fund,
LLC, which are, I believe, owned by the same people. Okay. And then I think there's an 8% interest on the mortgage itself.
Okay.
We were able to ascertain and record our documents.
Mr. Chair, the staff has pointed out, part of the arrangement, every house that a low-income person builds has to be financed, and the financing varies. This particular financing was enabling that to occur, and in the charitable world, which is the world of 63602C, that is analyzed under the private benefit rules, whether the private benefit is incidental. But to bring back to the statute, leasing real property can be a charitable purpose. If it's only if it's a business purpose, is leasing prohibited by the statute. And the LEAPS leasing of the ground to a homeowner for nominal ground rent, just enough to care for the property so that the charity doesn't use other charitable funds to care for the property, is not a business purpose. It's miles away from any form of profit, which is the standard for a business purpose. Every business purpose assumes that there's a profit motive. That's the IRS standard. We're not anywhere near there. And so that's the fundamental rule here is that to deny the exemption as requested, you would have to conclude that LEAP Charities has entered into this arrangement for a business purpose, and there's no evidence of that.
Chairman?
Yes.
Our attorney asked if the interest was 8%.
That's a in the weeds detail. I'll have to ask our.
I don't believe
they're through the LEAP
loan fund. I'm sorry. I don't believe that that family is funded by the
LEAP
loan fund.
I'd like to introduce Becca Mathis, one of the LEAP Charities staff people.
She's sworn in.
I don't believe that they are funded through the
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, hold on. Were you sworn in?
No.
Well, you don't get to talk then.
I'll say to the record that we don't believe that they're actually funded through a LEAP-related entity.
So we don't have any documentation. I thought we do have documentation. So staff has documentation that would countermand your opinion.
Mr. Chairman, we have other ones to get through. Being that this is new and we're not going to be the experts of it, I'm willing to uphold the denial and let BTA sort it out.
And Chairman, I think that's fair because there's two different legal opinions in the room, and I don't have enough information to know if they're profiting on this or not. That information hasn't been provided. You keep saying maintenance costs. I don't have any maintenance costs in front of me. So there would need to be greater evidence presented. You do get another shot at BTA, but if that's a motion, I would support that motion.
Okay.
Or I can make the motion.
I guess for clarification, normally we have a sheet to read off what we're supposed to specifically state for the motion. Are we to use the PIN number on each one of these?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Chairman, I move that the board upholds the denial on protest number 26001 for PIN number 085770100 due to lack of information on a fairly new or at least interpretation of 63602C for LEAP Charities.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. So with this, you're more than welcome to go on to the state and continue your appeal. Thank you. All right. Moving right along, protest 26003. Is it
Cushing?
Yeah.
So if staff would introduce this, please.
Yes, ma'am.
So you don't yell across the table.
Happy to. Should I go get this in?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's some documents in the back.
Thank you.
There is going to be fine print if you want to review.
Thank you.
You guys can come up.
Okay.
Okay, introduce your name and give you time to make your presentation.
Who did say is? Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Cleve Cushing. I'm here on behalf of our family concerning our 9.23 acres on Locust Lane in Canyon County. This land has been on our family since the 1930s, nearly a century of continuous agriculture use, continuous tax payments, and continuous stewardship of this property. I received our tax assessment notice dated May 7th, stating that the assessor's office had denied our agricultural exemption, classified our property as residential without prior notice, without a hearing, without any change whatsoever in how this land is actually being used. As you will notice in Exhibit B, page 1, the land is still being used for storage of equipment and from time to time agricultural commodities. To my knowledge, this property has never been rezoned. It is not platted. It is not annexed into the city of Nampa. No building permits have been sought. Nothing's changed except my tax bill. Under Idaho Code 63604, agricultural land must be assessed based on its agricultural use value. No speculative residential market value. The statute is clear. Change classification must be based on an actual change in use. The assessor has identified no such change. Under Idaho Code 63604-2B, which is included in Exhibit A, it states as follows: land that is contiguous to land qualifying under subsection 1 of this section shall also be appraised, assessed, and taxed as land actively devoted to agricultural or agriculture if the land is, and option B is, used primarily to store agricultural commodities, agricultural equipment, or both. As an aside, the instructions were sent failed to include this this statute. Might have been an oversight, but anyway. Both exhibits B and C are provided as independent source using Google Earth, proving that it is consistent use of this property that has not changed in 17 years that we have owned it, or the previous decades that our ancestors owned this land. Google Earth starts pictures in 1985. Additionally, Exhibit C includes the historic value, assessed values, assessed taxes, and percent changes. The 2026 proposal represents a 3,421% increase for 1 year. During the previous 4 years, the assessed value has decreased 3.3%, which is consistent with other ag lands. I am requesting that the board restore the agricultural classification on this parcel
and to direct the assessor's office to assess this property at its agricultural use value as Idaho law requires. I have provided each of you a one-page summary of the relevant statutes and exhibits which support our factual records. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity to be heard today. I trust the board will fairly apply and the rule of law and protect the rights of Canyon County owners. I'm here to answer any questions.
Chairman, yes. I have a question. There's a note here that the irrigated water right was removed. Is this property ever, and I'm sorry I missed that. I'm sure you said somewhere in there, but.
I had originally thought the water right had been removed. The reason being, back in the 80s, when there was the Snake River water adjudication, water rights that were applicable to our entire 57 acres was reduced significantly. And as a result of that, this 9.23 acres, which if you look, is the area that is on the west side of the canal. It's extremely hard to do any farming in there. The narrowest part is 60 feet. To turn a tractor around, to do anything makes it unable to use it to actually do row crops. Although some of the guys have from time to time, Jim Hendricks is next door to us and he's come over and used some of it and I let him do it to be a good neighbor. But I did find out from Ample Water that we do still have water rights to this, but it being a drought year, it makes little sense for us to use the water that might be applicable to this 9 acres. Would be much better to allow that to be used by someone else. Yeah.
And so what I heard you say is that this has been a staging area for farm equipment for a number of years.
Nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
Google Earth will show it. I took pictures the day I went visited with Tracy. I went back out to the farm. There's equipment on the farm that day.
Chairman, just for follow-up on your, what I also heard you say is that you want this but restored back to the ag price on that. So I do have a parcel history, value history, and there is some variation. Do you have a value that you were asking for?
I do. That would be at the bottom of Exhibit C. So on Exhibit C, I've listed out the tax years that we have. We did split this, and I make no bones about it. You see the picture, the 47 acres, we did split that. If I might add, because I'm probably out of time, but when we split that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the total assessed value was up roughly $115,000. The 47 acres, because we did the addition, has increased the tax base for Canyon County by somewhere between $55 and $60 million due to the residential housing that got annexed into the city. That's an aside. But what I did is I took those assessed values. I took the last 4 years. It shows that 3.3% decrease and taking the $15,870 that was assessed last year, decreasing that by an additional 3.3, I'm requesting a valuation of $15,347.
For the whole thing or per acre?
For the whole thing.
Say your number again.
15,000, so let me get there again.
347,
thank you. Yep, 15,347.
Thank you.
So could we have staff share how their determination is and what the standards are that they use in monitoring property like this that's been divided, subdivided off, and not active in agricultural production?
Good afternoon. My name is Nicole. I'm an appraiser with the Kansas County Assessor's Office. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, let's jump right into it. PIN number 288-66000-0. Located on East Locust Lane, Nampa, Idaho. Total assessed value $558,750. Bare land parcel 9.23 acres. Here's a broader picture of what we're looking at. It's located near the corner of East Locust Lane and South Happy Valley Road. It was also formerly part of a larger piece that is now subdivided, as Mr. Cushing had said earlier. Next slide. Here's a look at the parcel value history. You can see there was a significant jump from 25 to 26. I had it flagged for review from the previous year due to perceived lack of agricultural activity. So during ag checks this year, I saw it was severely overgrown and removed it from the ag exemption. Next slide. Here is the before and after. In years past, it's been what we consider active staging area for farm equipment and staging hay, as well as a turnaround point for tractors and other equipment. It was also actively devoted to cropland on the north portion. On the right is our most recent imagery revealing the lack of ag activity. Here are some recent close-ups of the parcel. You can see the overgrown weeds and bushes, as well as some old equipment that has not moved for several years per our imagery. Also, Mr. Cushing did go out and plow a small portion of the parcel on the north end, but I have not observed nor been made aware of any actual planting of crops. Next slide. Here's a little more of the parcel history. In the 21-22 timeframe, Mr. Cushing split and sold off 48.47 acres for $8.2 million, and we are here today to discuss the leftover piece to the west. Next slide. Here's a copy of the water rights that I received from the Nampa and Meridian Irrigation District. There are 8.71 water-righted acres available. Next slide. Here is my proposed assessor's change. The new value is based on the excess land rate I use on everything in this area. I did not apply a home site value in order to account for lack of development and or permit opportunities on this parcel. I also took into consideration the shape of the parcel with a negative 30% adjustment. Next slide. Here's a little bit of extra information. We did propose the adjusted value based on no agricultural activity to Mr. Cushing of $149,860, and he declined. We did inquire, like you saw earlier, to the Nampa and Meridian Irrigation District about the water rights, and they are available. I inquired about development opportunities to the city of Nampa if it were annexed, and it's a little bit of a long story. But it's not eligible for development right now, as Mr. Cushing has said. I did inquire to DSD about whether a permit is available, and due to another string of long circumstances, there's no permit available on it as of right now. Next slide. Considerations. This is where it gets a little muddled up and where our office stands on the point that Mr. Cushing made relating to staging area and agricultural activity. When looking at parcels for staging, we are looking for several things. Does the parcel itself have contiguous common ownership with an active farming operation? If the parcel itself does not have contiguous common ownership, which it doesn't, with the neighboring farming operation, is there a lease in place to verify partnership? We asked Mr. Cushing for a lease. He never provided a lease. If we can establish a relationship between the parcel and the neighboring farm and the subject is actively being used as part of a bona fide agricultural venture, it qualifies for the agricultural exemption. Earlier, I showed you a before and after picture. The before picture of it being actively staged and actively farmed is what we're looking for, not the deferred status that it's in currently. Next slide. This is a copy of the statute that Mr. Cushing also provided, and I highlighted the top and the bottom. They connect, and this is relating to the staging area, if you want to review that. That concludes my presentation.
Chairman, I have a question. Your presentation indicates a proposed value of $149,000, and that's for the whole 9 acres?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that, in my math, comes out to $60,536. Is that right? Help me.
Is that per acre, ma'am?
Yeah.
I didn't do a breakdown that way. We're working with a different scenario, but I have an answer that might answer your question. Is it okay if I go into it real quick?
Yes, and let me just tell you where I was coming from. Your
yes, ma'am.
Value of 558,750. I just did the simple. Mm-hmm. I took 9, divided that by 9.23, and came up with 6536. So now help me get to where you're at.
So this is how we come up with our value. All of the rural parcels in this area that have a permit available, they start at a $200,000 base. Then any additional acreage other than that one first market value acre at $200,000 is valued at an excess rate. So we use that excess rate that we use on everybody else in that entire area to value this parcel. So we removed the large portion where the permit is available and all the value at the base. We removed that completely, and then we used just an excess rate. And then we took 30% off because of the shape. And that's how we came to that. It's called Interpolated Land Schedule 30, and it's our office standard.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
But even, Chairman, follow up, even with, if they had a contiguous parcel and a lease agreement, that's where you would value it at $149,860?
No, ma'am. If they had a lease agreement and we saw bona fide agricultural activity occurring there, mm-hmm. then he would get the exemption and he would be back at that lower rate that he's looking for, the $15,000, $16,000, $17,000.
Okay.
But right now, we're not seeing any bona fide actual ag activity going on.
Thank you.
We've seen some old equipment.
Yep. Thanks mm-hmm. for the clarification.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. May I ask a question? Because there's an inserting of one word in the interpretation by the county, and that is that apparently they've interpreted the statute to say that I must own the contiguous property next door, and the statute does not.
No. We just said lease. You could show some kind of business agreement with your adjacent landowner, and they ask you for that, and you haven't provided any.
All right. My adjacent landowner has been a joint landowner for over 50 years, and this is Idaho.
But the picture doesn't show the continuous use like it was earlier. And that's where we get into this on all of these properties. At some point in time, you choose not to be participating in the agriculture, not active agriculture.
May I direct your attention to Exhibit I? My handout. This is on the Canyon County Assessor's webpage. Yesterday afternoon, it lists the fair market value as $15,870.
If I may, the public site hasn't been updated to the current value, the assessed value. That was a previous value for the previous year.
And we typically don't till we get through this whole
exactly.
process.
All the other pages have been updated, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm willing to do what the assessor's office offered for the new assessed value. If the protester does not like that, they are still free to take it on to the next step.
I could go along with that concept. Commissioner Van Beek?
Chairman, I move that the board accepts the counteroffer presented by the Canyon County Assessor's Office on protest number 26003 and number 2886600. The adjusted value would be $149,860 for the 9.23 acres, giving the applicant an additional opportunity to go to the BTA if they so choose.
A second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you.
We don't have any other business. Is there any other nominal business that we need to take care of this afternoon?
I think so.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.